Good morning. Welcome to the second hour of the Bible study on listener-supported KFUO Radio. It's the Ask the Pastor program. KFUO Radio is a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. I'm Roland Lettner. Thanks for joining us this morning. Thank you for your patience and putting up with a scratchy voice this morning. We will try and muster through as best we're able. And that's the thing. You pray for rain, you get it. And then you get all the things that come along with it, like mold and pollen and grass and all those things that make you miserable in St. Louis this time of year. But someone who is never miserable. I have never encountered Pastor Dave Andrus in a bad mood. How are you, my friend? Good morning. Wait, hang on. There you
are. Me. No, there are occasions I'm in a bad mood, but it is true, not very often.
Well, not on the air. And we appreciate that.
Oh, true. Yeah.
How goes everything at Lutheran Blind Mission?
Well, very, very well. And in fact, since the last time we talked, major changes have happened. I think last time I was on, I talked about how we were in the process of unifying our ministry with Lutheran Braille workers.
Right.
That is now complete. And what that means is we've done a real big shuffle as we sat down at the table and said, how best can this ministry serve people who are blind? And that's the reason we joined together. It wasn't to survive. It wasn't a financial reason. It wasn't because of, oh, dear me, the sink is shipping. Yeah. The ship is sinking. The sink might ship anyway, but anyway, it's because we want to serve people who are blind and visually impaired better. And that does two things. One, we want people who are blind and visually impaired, when they call, to have basically a one-stop shopping. But then secondly, the donors who support it, and both ministries have been supported by individuals and congregations, we want them to be less confused. There's so many times when I call and say, hey, could we start a ministry in your area? And they say, okay, but which one are you? And or they'll call one place saying, we're looking for this, or we want to do that, and they're just so confused out there. So the point is going to be to simplify things.
And on top of that, you're in new digs, too. You've moved your office.
Well, and we may be moving again.
What?
Yeah. We in May, moved the Lutheran Library for the Blind down to Jacksonville, Florida. Part of the reason for that was, as we sat down and said, if we're going to do this, let's do it right and think creatively. We need a better spot with less overhead for the library. It was in a large warehouse. We were spending, with utilities, close to $3,000 a month.
Wow.
A church came forward in Jacksonville and said, we have an empty preschool building. We'll give it to you free the first year, and we'll definitely go way below that for a rent in a year. And, by the way, we have a lot of volunteers. It's Jacksonville, retirement area. So we decided to move it there. And then as we started looking at the St. Louis office, for personal reasons, the gal who was going to stay with me and work with me said, nah, I don't think I will. I'm going to look for a different employment, which is understandable. So I was left here with the question, do we hire somebody? Or why don't we just ship what we were doing out to California instead of doing work here, let's use this St. Louis office more as a touch point to all the Lutheran agencies. And so I'm going to stay in St. Louis. I'll probably look for a smaller office and then be in connection with all the St. Louis churches and the entities. And we still do some volunteer work, but it won't be in an office on McKinsey Road as it presently is at the moment. So the headquarters is in California. Most of the phone numbers are there, although I do have a local number if people want to call and leave a message. I'm there some of the time, but I'm on the road a lot. Having the unified ministry has given me once again the opportunity to be traveling, to speak to congregations, to start outreach centers, and to train people who are blind.
And you know, the Florida coast and the California coast, not bad places to visit now and again.
Well, so you are
brilliant, sir. Brilliant,
well,
I say.
Yeah, except I'm going down to Jacksonville, Florida Saturday to dedicate the Lutheran Library for the Blind and its reopening. Well, maybe the weather is good down there. I don't know. Maybe it is.
Yeah, I think you'll enjoy it.
I think I'll pack my swimsuit.
Hey, I found some things in the news this morning, but if our listeners want to join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727 and KFUO at KFUO.org. Mm-hmm. Last month we had a little bit of fun with a fellow by the name of Christian Piot, mm-hmm. who writes at the Huffington Post. Mm-hmm. And he put up something called 10 Things Christians Should Never Say.
Uh-huh.
Well, now he's followed that up with 9 Christian cliches to be avoided. I thought I might throw a couple of these at you.
Ooh, interesting.
See what you think about this. All right? Here's his number one. He says that you should never say this cliche: Christianity is the only way to God. He said, you may believe this with your whole heart, but I'm sure you have the scriptures at the ready to support it, but consider the possibility that either those who are speaking, who you're speaking with, think differently about this, or they haven't put much thought into it, that what you're saying feels like an ultimatum. So he's not trying to be, I guess what he's looking at is how do people hear that when it's said, as opposed uh-huh. to what it's meant when you say it. What do you think?
You know, with that seasoning of salt, it actually is not a bad suggestion. Thinking about how the person will hear it, it certainly is an absolute truth I hold to and all Christians hold to. But if you're talking to a person, I am thinking of people who are blind, who are hurting, who are struggling, mm-hmm. who think God has stomped them to the ground to say, well, God's the only way, that doesn't give them hope at that moment. So there is some validity to the consideration of the audience that you're speaking to.
The second one on his list is a classic. When God closes a door, you finish that one.
He opens another one.
No, he opens a window. Well, that's the way he puts it. Yeah.
He opens a window.
To a crowd below screaming, jump, jump.
Yeah. You know, again, thinking of the hearer, you've just lost your husband, you just lost your job, you've just lost your house because it burnt to the ground. Well, God opens up other doors when he closes one. That doesn't bring a lot of comfort and hope. It's true, and that's why I was actually intrigued as soon as you started this about the cliches, because often cliches are the worst thing to give a person. But it is the first thing we jump to.
Yeah,
but this is fun. Yeah.
Yeah, what he says here is that you don't want to say this because it implies very strongly that the bad thing that happened was caused by God.
Oh, but that's true. So often it is caused by God. My blindness, I feel, was directed and caused by God. Well, to tell the 11-year-old boy, you know, that would not give me comfort. In fact, it would have made me angry at God. Well, I was angry already at God. It would just made me more angry and probably stomp away. And that's why some people do. But God, too often we think that we got to protect God and his reputation and that he can't take a few knocks and hits. He'll chuckle and say, hey, yeah, I did some of these things. You bet I did. Some things are brought about by our own stupidity, our own sinfulness. There's no doubt. No doubt.
Oh, yeah.
And there's some things that fall in the gray area in between. But over the years, I've learned that I don't have to defend God and keep him off the hook or keep him out of the corner. He's big enough to handle that himself, and quite frankly, he says, yes, I do cause certain things, and I do it for your own good.
Number three on his list is from the prophet Benjamin. You familiar with the prophet Benjamin?
No.
Benjamin Franklin.
Oh, okay. Okay.
God helps those who help themselves.
Oh.
Yeah, and this is a criticism because he says it sounds very Bible, but be very careful. A lot of those things that sound real churchy and real Christian really aren't.
Yeah, cleanliness is next to godliness.
Oh, yeah.
That one really, really bothered my associate who I started ministry with. Oh, it just bugged him. Not that he didn't mind being clean, and he took a shower just like everybody, but he said, that's just not true. Yeah.
He goes on to say, you don't need to give people more reasons to resent the scriptures than they already have.
Yeah, good point.
And here's number four. Perhaps God is fill in the blank with something negative to get your attention. You know, perhaps God is causing you financial hardship to get your attention. It's God's way of telling you it's time for you to fill in the blank. Change, go back to church, live a better life.
Now, this is the first one I have to say, I don't know. I don't avoid this one.
Well, here's his explanation. He says, to me, this comes off as speaking on behalf of God. It seems to me that the better thing to say, if anything, is there any good that can come from this? Or what wisdom can we find in this experience? But better than that is this, as he says, I've said before, being quiet, being present, and being compassionate and loving. Let God speak for God.
There are points where what he's saying are good things to do. What can we learn from this? Is a good thing to ask. And there are times I remember, and I still in my pastoral ministry, I just sit there and listen. And not speak. Interesting. Well, but I still don't agree with that. I think we do need to realize that God does bring about things so that perhaps we... Well, not perhaps, that so that we will wake up and change.
Well, what if you did it this way? Perhaps God is causing the destruction of Jerusalem to get your attention, and it's God's way of telling you to stop following false gods.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it has to be said sometimes.
Yeah.
In fact, I had a conversation, he might be listening today, with a pastor yesterday. He was very troubled. He said, I'm seeing people not come back and sit in the pew. And so last Sunday, I went and visited them in their houses. And he said, and what would you say if the church, I won't mention the church, closed in 6 months? And the people said, well, that'd be too bad. Will it affect you? No. And he said, what do I tell these people? They don't even understand the seriousness of where it's taking them in their lives.
Yeah.
We talked about that, the reality that sometimes people need to hear the law. Sometimes, moving back to the other, we just have to be quiet and listen, which is something he really did do for them, is listen to these delinquents and what they were saying. But sometimes people just need to hear the law. Absolutely.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727, KFUO at KFUO.org. Pastor Dave Andrus, the Executive Director of Lutheran Blind Mission, our guest for Ask the Pastor today. Going to continue through this list. If you'd like to interrupt us with another comment or question, feel free. Otherwise, we'll just see what the day takes us here.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this is one that I have to, confess that I've been guilty of saying, and not really even one of the, like you said, one of those mindless cliches you just kind of throw out without really thinking about the implication. Number five, there but for the grace of God go I.
Well, there is great truth in that. Oh, is there great truth? Again, my wife sent me a message yesterday saying, please keep, as a different pastor, in your prayers, as he is now rushing to the hospital to minister to a family where the mother had an aneurysm on the way of taking her college student her 18-year-old to college. And so instead of going to college, the student is at the bedside of mom, who did die of the aneurysm, by the way. And so, but by the grace of God, there go I. It's very true. You or I, by the end of the day, may be dead, but for the grace of God. Life is very... What should I say? King David said, and this is what I sent to my wife, the message back to her. King David said, there's just but one step between death and I. And therefore, we always need to be ready and thank the Lord for the days we have.
What's interesting, again, I think he's writing from a position of sensitivity to how people that are not necessarily in the faith hear these things.
Okay.
What he is saying again here is that he thinks that phrase suggests to the person that was the object of whatever misfortune befell them, that they somehow are outside of God's grace. You're in God's grace because it didn't happen to you, but because it happened to them, God's grace was not on them.
Oh, see, I didn't even think of that.
Yeah.
Interesting. Well, then at that point, he is correct. Because even in the midst of tragedies, God's grace is upon people. In fact, sometimes he has, I'm just rambling here, because we don't have any calls, and you said your throat's scratchy, so seems like I got to do more talking. My throat's fine. And I just wound up the key in my back, and off I go. My wife's brother was diagnosed with cancer, and the family was devastated. He's only 37.
My.
And it was an unusual cancer. He lived a rough life, and kind of, he was confirmed, he was baptized, confirmed, but boom, gone. And he lived in Minnesota. We were here in St. Louis at the time. I was a parish pastor up at Our Redeemer Overland, and my wife says, I want to go up to see him. I said, absolutely. Twice in the 6 months between the diagnosis and his death, she went there for several days and sat by the bedside and said, Bill, do you know where you're going? You know you're going to be dying soon. And his wife in the room next door, don't talk about that. We got to be. And Deb said, no, it's reality. Bill, do you know where you're going? I think so. Let me tell you more about that. And through that process of his having cancer, he was readied and prepared for eternity. If he would have a year ago, before that, died in the car accident he was in, both my wife and I are not sure he would have been in heaven, plain and simple.
Hmm.
So even in tragedies like cancer, God's grace is there.
Now, picking up at number six, if you just have enough faith, fill in the blank will happen for you. I think I've hit your favorite one here.
that's my number one.
Yeah.
Because I was told that when I was 12 years old, newly blinded. And it stunned me. First it's, okay, I'm going to have enough faith. And if faith would have done it, this kid would have seen, had 20/20 vision when he was 13 or sooner. It's not a matter of faith. Not at all. That puts God in the position of being our doughty old grandfather who gives toys at Christmas.
Yeah.
He doesn't dispense to us just what we want because we believe it can happen.
It turns faith into something akin to contract law.
Yeah, it does.
If you hold up your end of the deal, then God will hold up his.
Yeah. That one. I mean, some of these I can go, well, yeah, no, and yeah, there's a point to these. This one, 100%, this should be number one, because there's never a point if you have enough faith. If you have faith, God is with you, plain and simple.
And moving on, this is one I think that's very common today to excuse anything. That we want to deviate, you know, take a turn away from Scripture. Number seven on his list, I don't put God in a box.
Oh, yeah. I have heard that.
Generally, it's progressive-type Christians that use this who want to, well, rethink what God is saying.
Mm-hmm.
Because surely he, you know, if culture can evolve and if we can become more enlightened, surely God can do the same thing.
Which is absolutely the same as saying my God is different than your God. And if that's the case, he might not be the true God.
Yeah. He says here, this is actually his favorite one. He says that you come off as sounding pretty arrogant when you use this phrase. You're implying to others that if you put God in a box, then your theological perspective is, well, how did he put this here? He says, you're implying to others, when you say you don't put God in a box, that your theological perspective is superior.
Mm-hmm.
That you somehow are more enlightened because, you know, than to just take Scripture at face value.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting. I don't put God in the box. Well, again, whatever gets you through the night, I guess.
You know, to take that analogy, get you through the night, talk about a cliche. My gosh, Roland. I would like to take that one. I don't put God in a box. And if I'm of mind, as I've had 2 seconds, I'm going to try to remember this. If anyone says it, I'll say, excuse me? I think God should be in every single box of your life. Which box are you sitting in right now? Because he should be permeating our entire life.
Well, in a sense, though, he does put himself in a box, so to speak.
At times.
Yeah, you know, I mean he puts himself in Scripture and says, this is who I am.
Yep. He put himself in flesh.
Yeah.
That's contained. A box means you have limitations. You have a delineation. And he did do that.
Yeah, and God is not limited. He's self-limiting.
That is correct.
Well, that does sound pretty arrogant when you say something like that. Here's number 8. Pastor Dave Andrus is a good, God-fearing Christian. Actually, it says fill in the blank, but I just...
Yeah. I'm confused on that one.
Here's what he says. He says, first off, the phrase God-fearing is a real turnoff to many Christians and non-Christians alike. Though some understand God as a thing to be feared, a lot of folks simply do not relate to the image of God. And if you happen to be using the word fear as a synonym for respect, consider the likelihood that your audience will probably hear fear as fear.
My younger daughter is that way, I think. That's a valid point to a degree, yep. Yep, it's about words,
yeah,
and how your listener will hear the words. But even taking it in the good sense, Roland is a God-fearing man. Yeah, so what? I mean, I see this in my head. I can't get it out. What does that have to do with anything? If we hold to the fact that we are Christians, we all should be that. But that can't be a cliche or a phrase to either explain or justify any of us or our actions.
Well, you know, I heard, and again, I stand to be corrected here because I saw this commercial only once.
Mm-hmm.
But I could hold here, and I think I'm pretty certain in this, that a certain candidate, unnamed, running for Senate, mm-hmm. said something to this effect in their commercial when they talked about having a divinity degree and that they were a good, God-fearing Christian, and that's why they were running for office. Or something to that effect. So
okay.
Maybe it's used as a justification that I really am better than you.
And in that sense, it comes back to, yeah, so what?
Here, we've got just about a half a minute left here. Let's just throw this last one at you here. God is in control. And he says, this goes right to the heart of theodicy, that if God is in control, why do bad things happen to good people?
Well, I don't think that's a cliche at all. It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. He is in control. And many things he absolutely steers and guides, and there are some things that he permits to happen.
Pastor Andrus, why don't you stew on that for a moment?
Okay.
Stew on that for a little bit, and maybe we'll revisit a couple of those if you want.
Okay.
We'll spend some more time on God is in control when we get back from this break. Pastor Dave Andrus is the Executive Director of Lutheran Blind Mission, our guest for Ask the Pastor. Join us, 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Don't forget the email, kfuo@kfuo.org.
The KFUO comment line at 314-505-7839 is our chance to hear back from you.
I was just calling to let you know that how much I enjoy the music between 12 and 1.
You listen to us, and we want to hear back from you. That's why we have our listener comment line at 314-505-7839.
I can always hear something nice on KFUO, and I know you are true to the Bible.
Call the KFUO comment line at 314-505-7839. Your comments, questions, and opinions are important to us.
I just want to tell you guys, I listen every night. Keep up the good work.
Remember, you're always welcome to call our live programs and be part of them on the air, but we realize that many of you may be listening to one of our on-demand programs or podcasts. The KFUO comment line, 314-505-7839.
The thought of my sons growing up without me inspired me to quit smoking.
I talked to my doctors, and then I threw away all my cigarettes, ashtrays, and lighters.
I started exercising instead of smoking.
Getting support from friends online kept me on track.
Staying away from alcohol when I was first quitting was key.
Instead of smoking after I ate, I'd get up and take a walk.
I missed having a cigarette in my hand, so I'd hold a pen or a straw, anything.
Until I knew I wouldn't give in to temptation, I spent more time with my friends who didn't smoke.
I went to places that were smoke-free.
I didn't stay quit the very first time I tried.
I kept on trying, and I learned something each time.
Do whatever it takes.
No matter how many times it takes.
I quit.
I quit.
I quit.
We did it, so can you.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and CDC.
The head of the Knights of Columbus says it's the duty of Catholic voters to oppose candidates who support abortion rights and restrictions on the church's religious freedom. At the group's annual convention, Supreme Knight Carl Anderson said,
"Is it not time for Catholic voters to say no to every candidate of every political party who supports intrinsic evils?"
Referring to the Obama administration's birth control mandate, Anderson said,
"It is the right of Catholic employers, including the Knights of Columbus, not to be forced to pay for or be complicit with procedures and prescriptions that are morally wrong."
New York Cardinal Timothy Dolan praised the Catholic Fraternal Organization.
"Knights of Columbus, you've been nothing less than Marines, than a Delta Force in the defense of religious freedom."
I'm Steve Coleman.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
The Church of Scientology is a cult founded by L. Ron Hubbard. It teaches we're reincarnated souls who've lived on other planets and have lost our way. As a result, the so-called church sells resources to members at high prices, which provides spiritual rehabilitation. It's been highly controversial since its inception, and now scores of women are coming forward and charging the organization with forcing or coercing them into having abortions against their will. There are also charges of violating federal labor laws. One woman is suing, and the Church of Scientology is fiercely fighting back. Some say because they've got a lot to lose if the truth comes out. Others are advocating a massive investigation. If they're forcing women to abort in the name of religion, they need to be stopped.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
It's the Ask the Pastor program here on listener-supported KFUO Radio. I'm Roland Lettner. Good morning. Thank you for joining us. Our guest pastor is Pastor Dave Andrus. He serves as Executive Director of Lutheran Blind Mission. And Pastor, before we get to our continuing discussion of God is in Control, just in case someone joined us late may want to support Lutheran Blind Mission, you want to give your contact information again very quickly?
Sure. We are on the website at blindmission.org. And the local phone number here in St. Louis is 544-3100.
All right. Now, you had the entire duration of that break to stew on God is in Control.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to add to that?
Well, yes. Usually, people will immediately point to things like the shooting in Milwaukee. If God were in control, that would stop.
Yep.
They go to... is God going to be in control of everything? And if he's not in control of everything, then he's in control of nothing. And they go to one extreme to the other. And I don't think either is correct. God is in control, but he chooses, just as we talked about how he chooses to limit his use of power, he limits his control at times. He could stop all evil if he wanted to. But the reason he doesn't is because if he stopped all evil, all bad, all sin from happening, he'd stop the world. And then he wouldn't be able to save people. And more than stopping evil, what's more important to our God is in his heart that he wants people to be saved through knowing Jesus as their Savior by what he did. And therefore, he's willing to let certain things go on in order that his message may get out and people may be saved. There are many things in which God is absolutely in control. There are some things what's the right word? I'm going to use these words and you'll probably shoot me down.
No.
Oh, I shouldn't use that word, shoot me down. You'll probably disagree with me. He relinquishes control to us and we make bad choices.
Yeah. Last week we talked about the kid who was texting while driving, and the last thing he texted before going over the cliff, literally, was, "I need to stop texting."
Yeah.
So your point well taken, sir.
Yeah.
505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. You ready for some calls, Pastor?
Sure.
Here we go. Selena, good morning. You're up first with Pastor Andrus. Go ahead.
Good morning. I guess you kind of answered my question or my comment right before before you came to me. But if God is in control the way people seem to want to think he's in control, we would have no free will. Because all of us do wrong things. All of us sin all the time. And he wouldn't allow any sin. So we would never get a choice of what we wanted to do, and we could never make mistakes because he would be in that kind of control, and he doesn't do that. He gives us that free will.
We would be absolute puppets,
right?
And not individuals. Yes, yes. Now,
thank you.
Thank you.
Now this is an interesting thing because. You touched on something, though, that some theologians are jumping all over, and if I don't deal with it real quick, your phone lines will get flooded. We do have free will to a degree. I mean, I choose what to eat. I choose whether I'm going to sleep in and get fired or get up and work. There are choices we have. Spiritually, though, our wills are bound because of our sinful nature that we never choose God, never choose him. But he comes to us when we're spiritually dead, as it says in Ephesians 2, when we're spiritually dead, his grace has saved us. Once his grace comes to us, then there is again a bit of cooperation. Obviously, and his grace is always working in our lives, and it's only by what he does that we have that life. Once we are in faith and have that new life, we start to do things for him out of thanksgiving. And it's a both and. It's God, but yet it's us. But certainly, on an earthly level, what are we going to wear? What are we going to eat? What kind of job we're going to have? We have freedom there to do and choose things. And God wants that to be. He wants his creation out of thankful hearts to serve and obey him and not just be puppets. Not just be puppets.
Hmm. Yeah, one time I heard it put this way, that when we are born, we are born walking due south. And it's perfectly natural. We think it is absolutely right to be walking due south.
Uh-huh.
We don't even know that there's a north. We can't be bothered to notice because we think going south is the way we were built to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then God comes along and literally turns us 180 degrees around and now puts us back to true north.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, good example.
Yeah. 505-7850, 1-800-730-2727. Been paying much attention to the Olympics?
Yes.
You have?
Yes. My wife and I have been watching it quite a bit.
And you have a favorite event?
No. My wife loves gymnastics, and she loves the swimming. And so because I love my wife, I guess I I'm sitting with her, and that's what she's watching. So, but I really don't have any particular favorite event. No.
Well, do you know the name Lolo Jones?
Yes. She came in fourth last night, I believe.
Yes, she did. And apparently she's been quite the subject in the virtual world, in the Twitter realm.
Oh, yeah. Know that.
Because, well, Jones is a fairly accomplished track star, and the expectations were fairly high that she would medal, mm-hmm. if not maybe even get the gold medal in her event. And when she lost last night, mm-hmm. now, I mean, you've got to keep in the background here that she is reported in the press, she is called an outspoken Christian and proud virgin.
Mm.
That's the way one of the news accounts puts it here. Well, okay. She is now the subject of the Twitter world because everyone is mocking her, A, for her faith, and B, for her purity.
Oh.
And if only she would have indulged like the rest of the athletes, then perhaps she could have run better. I kid you not, I've got 4 pages of Twitter posts that I cannot say on the air.
Wow.
Just taking her to task for her stupidity for not, you know, living a normal life. Now, I guess a normal life is this. You may have heard this story along the way. You know, one of the other big stories about the Olympics is this fellow named Ryan Lochte.
Uh-huh.
Two things have come out about Ryan Lochte. One was his mother gave an interview, and his mother very proud. This is just, you know, a couple of days ago, here on August 3rd. His mother gave an interview, proudly speaking about how her son is magnificent and a master of the one-night stand.
No, I didn't know that, and I did not hear that about that interview.
Well, I see some of these stories you have to go across the pond and read them in the English newspapers because. Yeah, but this came from the Times of London, and it says, here's the headline: Awkward? Ryan Lochte's mom dishes on swimmer sex life. He's all about one night stands.
Mm.
Now, apparently, this is something to be honored, and this is something that someone's mother is proclaiming in public.
Oh, my. Something
I would think mothers used to be very ashamed of.
Yeah.
And yet, the one who says, I'm a Christian and a virgin and will stay so until married is now the butt of all the jokes today.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, maybe if Ryan Lochte wouldn't do all these one-night stands, he would have won the gold.
Yeah.
I mean, it can go both ways.
Tired fellow he is, yes.
Yeah. It really, whether you're pure or impure, sexually has nothing to do with how you're going to do, unless that impure life keeps you up late at night. It has nothing to do with how you're going to perform in the Olympics. Huh. Well, sorry to hear about that.
It seems to me that what they're saying is, accusing her of, maybe mm-hmm. indirectly, is that, you know, you see, you stupid Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you live your life. Live like the rest of us. Eat, drink, be merry. Come on.
Mm-hmm.
It's not getting you anywhere.
Hmm.
That sounds a little bit like Paul from chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians.
Yeah.
I think he responds to that in the world.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that was an interesting juxtaposition there because, you know, here you have the one guy, the swimmer, whose own mother praises him for being immoral. And the one who is trying to be moral is the butt of the jokes. I guess if you read the entirety of the Bible, that comes as no surprise.
That's correct. And the world will always be luring, enticing, jeering, cajoling, pushing people to be part of it. And because the world is of the devil in that sense, the world meaning the sinful part of it, that... It misery loves company. Talk about cliches. It wants it to be part of it so that it can be vindicated. We might look at it that way, or is obviously controlled by the devil. It doesn't want people to be saved, and so it'll do anything it can to embarrass, shame, or in any way bring down those who stand up for the Lord.
You know, and something else that happens today is sometimes people complain about the police. Well, thanks be to God we don't live in England. Because, again, here's another one of these Olympic-related stories. this poor guy, 54-year-old guy, names Mark Worsfold. Mm-hmm. And Mark Worsfold was handcuffed and hauled off by the Surrey police, the Surrey, England, the town in England, where the one of the bicycle races was being held yesterday, one of the road races. Do you know why he was arrested and hauled off by police?
Why?
He was not smiling during the event. I kid you not. They are so obsessed with sorting out who is and is not a terrorist and who may or may not be up to some nefarious activity by facial expression. This is facial recognition that they're talking about using at the airports. So this poor guy is sitting there waiting for the bicyclist to go by, and the cops haul him away because he's not smiling. And turns out he wasn't smiling because he's got Parkinson's.
Well, that's what went through my mind. There's some people who can't smile. A real dear friend of mine, Bill, he was my Wednesday driver. He came and knocked on the door when I was in the parish every day, 1 o'clock Wednesday, whether I felt like it or not, sick or not. And he said, "You ready to go, Pastor?" And we went out and made visitations. And he had Parkinson's, and he couldn't smile because of his Parkinson's. But he had such joy in his heart. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so a bit embarrassing, I think, for the Surrey police. So, there is something else in the news. I hesitate to bring this up, Pastor, because this has been such a focus of discussion over the course of the last week with Chick-fil-A and all that, the Gay Appreciation Day at Starbucks yesterday and all that.
Yeah.
How these things make the news. I kid you not, I woke up this morning. My family, God bless them. If I doze off on the couch, they don't wake me up and tell me to go to bed. They just leave me as I lay.
Do they?
No. And they didn't even turn the television off. So I woke up this morning, and Fox News is on. I guess I fell asleep watching that last night. The story, they are complaining. Well, they're telling the story about a letter that has gone viral in the web about a father writing to his gay son. I don't know if you caught this or not.
No, I haven't.
And the placement of this story seemed awfully suspicious because, you heard about all the turnout that was at Chick-fil-A. We even gave away some Chick-fil-A gift certificates, gift cards here on the program. Just because I think they're a cool place and they do a good job. So they have this kiss-in on Friday last week. It goes nowhere. No one shows up. And then yesterday was supposed to be Gay Appreciation Day at Starbucks because Starbucks is a big proponent of gay marriage, and that fizzled and flopped. And then you wake up this morning, and this is the first thing I hear. They are reading the letter. It says, "James, this is a difficult but necessary letter for me to write." And so begins this letter, as it says, posted on the web, of a father writing to his son who has come out of the closet. And it goes on to say, "This is difficult but necessary that I write this letter to you. I hope your telephone call was not to receive my blessing for the degrading of your lifestyle. I have fond memories of our time together, but that is in the past. Don't expect any further conversations with me. No communication at all. I will not come to visit, nor do I want you in my house. You've made your choice, though wrong it may be. God did not intend for this unnatural lifestyle. If you choose not to attend my funeral, my friends and I will understand. Have a good birthday and a good life. No present exchanges will be accepted. Goodbye, Dad."
And I suppose that the thought behind this then was, see how heartless and cruel people are just because they don't understand.
And I take it back, it was not Fox that I was watching, it was some news program called The Daily Buzz. On one of those high-numbered cable channels. The commentators, the anchors there were going on about, you see, this is being repeated thousands and thousands, if not millions of times across the country every day, where parents hate their children because they're gay. And I thought, these stories just kind of get under my skin a little bit because, I think the lack of attendance at the kiss-in, the lack of attendance at the Starbucks thing, demonstrates just what an extreme minority this group is.
That is correct.
But yet everything,
I'm glad you pointed that out, is an extreme minority. And the minority was hoping that the majority of the population would come out in their support, and they didn't.
And then these stories start popping up in the news about how people who come out of the closet are abused.
Well, if I can use my paintbrush here and swash it across, and I don't think it'll taint you, but it comes pretty close. See, the media, they have their slant, and they push what they want.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the anchors on this program were not shy about saying, you know, that this is it's the most unloving thing you can do. And, you know, I thought, well, maybe being driven out of the garden was a bit unloving, don't you think, Pastor?
If they would have stayed there, they would have eaten of the tree of life, and then they would have lived in death all their life.
And I'm not saying that, you know, to say that this letter, this alleged letter, I mean, sometimes these things are created for the sake of news coverage, but not to justify this father's position, but, you know, we don't have the backstory here. We don't know what else took place. We don't know what other efforts were made. And if this fellow has decided that he wants nothing to do with God and is going to live in this unrepentant alternative lifestyle, some would call sin, mm-hmm. then what alternative does a father have?
Yeah, exactly. It could be, I mean, you could have a similar story where your son becomes a drug addict and smokes every single time after the meal, and he carries guns and uses them at anybody who looks bad at him, and he has prostitutes, a different one every night with him.
Yeah.
I might write a letter to my son then too. You know, I can't accept what you're doing, and sorry, please don't come over anymore. If you don't come to my funeral, I understand. There comes a point where a parent does say to their child, you know, you pushed it, I love you, but you're pushing it too far. I can't accept that because you're going 100% against my values. And quite frankly, this isn't, you take it first at one level of just a parent to a child, and again, people are trumping this up, trying to push against religion because it relates to the values of our Christian faith. But before you go there, it can be true about any sort of values that a child may take and do that a parent can't stomach. They might have nothing to do with religion. Just because it does, and it does in this case, the media takes it and runs with it. And again, they're just trying to paint people in a poor light so that it will diminish the understanding and belief that we have.
Well, that ties back to Lolo Jones and the way she's being treated this morning. And,
yeah.
And then, you know, I tell you, some of the things I have to suffer.
Yeah.
Because being in radio, you know, the stuff that is out there in the Christian world, and I'm using that term very loosely,
mm-hmm.
I get all kinds of things sent to me about story ideas and proposed guests. And let me tell you about one of the emails I received this morning before my computer went kablooey. It came to me under the subject line, Christians Declare Repentance for the United States.
Mm.
And this is from a fellow who refers to himself as the prophet Elmore Richmond Jr.
Mm, okay.
And apparently his claim to fame is having written something called Ending Terrorism in the United States, God Has Warned Us.
Mm.
Okay. He claims that Christians are crying out throughout the nation for repentance for the United States. Have you noticed this anywhere? I think it's just the opposite, quite honestly. But
yeah, that's what thought went through my mind. I wish Christians would cry out for repentance more.
You know, and this is, I mean, this is, again, I guess, real covenant theology kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Because what they're calling for is something that Missouri went through either last summer or summer before when Ann Graham Lott came to Jefferson City to pray for 40 days of repentance for the state of Missouri so the legislature could regain its course and do the right thing for the people of the state of Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly what he's calling for here. He says that God has got a big stick waiting for us if we don't repent.
Mm.
Now, he's willing to bless us. He's willing to give us all sorts of good things like he did in the past. But we'd better repent first.
Mm. Wow.
He's even created a website called Revelations Up to the Minute, where, where he's chronicling all these people, 200 to be exact, who are Christians crying out for the United States to repent.
You know, and it's too bad because we have extremes like that that people look at, and I'm not talking about the media only now.
Yeah.
They look at it and they think, well, this is Christianity, and it really is not.
And you wonder why they mock us.
Yeah.
Perhaps we are our own. You know, what did Pogo say?
I don't know. What did he say?
That famous line about, we have met the enemy and he is us.
Ah, yes.
It goes on here. Now, this is the wacky stuff that I have to look at every day that comes into my mailbox.
Now, who said that again?
Pogo? About the enemy?
Yeah.
That was an old cartoon character called Pogo.
Okay.
I think long since out of print, but that was from back in the 60s, if I recall.
I thought it was Churchill or somebody. Or Franklin Devlin or Roosevelt.
Well, you know, Pogo was a pet name for Churchill.
But this
thing goes on here.
We quote famous people. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Apparently someone named Pastor Stephen Andrew of USA Christian Ministries, 40 days is not good enough for him. He wants 7 months of repentance and has formed an organization. And then there's another one. Who is this? It says here, now this is being put out as a press release, and they're absolutely serious. They're saying, God has given a vision to Dr. Rick Scarborough. Mm-hmm. Now, he's back to 40. I think I like Rick Scarborough better because it's not 7 months, only 40 days of repentance. But he says, we have only 40 days to save America from September 28th through November 6th. Well, what happens on November 6th?
Isn't that the election?
That's the election. A little bit of a political tone there, I think.
Yep.
National repentance affords Christians the opportunity to A, understand the Lord's inclusive ways, B, to search themselves, and C, tell the government of their sins and the sins of the nation.
I really must say, as the elections are rolling around and as you brought this story up, I really appreciate Martin Luther's concept of two kingdoms.
Oh, yes, thanks be to God.
Oh, it helps understand and bring clarity. Because if you didn't have that, you'd wonder when our officials do bad things or stupid things, and we all do because we're in a sinful world, but why God doesn't crush us. It's the two kingdoms.
Yeah.
There's a separation between his kingdom of grace and the kingdom of the civil world.
And ultimately, this little press release ends with saying this, perform a simple election test. What does the person profess regarding Christ, and are their actions in alignment with the doctrine of Christ? I would say when you consider that Mitt Romney is a Mormon, that probably puts President Obama closer to that than Mitt Romney.
Ooh. Interesting.
Well, but you know, again, when you're, like you said, when you got your chocolate in my peanut butter. As the commercial goes, you don't mix your politics and your theology.
I like chocolate and peanut butter together.
I'm not complaining. I'm just, you know, we were talking about cliches.
Okay.
I thought I would just end on that.
Oh, okay.
You were too much fun. Pastor Dave Andrus serves as Executive Director of Lutheran Blind Mission. Support them. Check them out on the web. What was that website again, Pastor?
Blindmission.org.
Blindmission.org. And if you want, seriously consider maybe having your congregation check them out and support them. Thank you, Pastor. Have a great day.
And you too. Thank you.
All right, guys, back tomorrow with more. We'll see you then.
Listen Bye-bye. To the Bible Study Monday through Friday at this same time. The Bible Study is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for the Bible Study to continue. Our address is 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. You can contact us on the web at kfuo.org. Download archives at kfuo.org. The Bible Study is heard weekdays on KFUO Radio, a broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Get ready for a spiritual action-adventure story like no other.
Am I ready?
An aged knight gives his last instructions to his beloved student.
Fear nothing, only be strong.
and courageous.
But Sir Constant soon faces a treacherous sorcerer knight.
What seeks he?
In the name of the king, I can do all!
Sir Knight of the Splendid Way on the next Lamplighter Theater.
Saturday mornings at 11 on KFUO Radio.
Hi, this is Joni Harwell. Have you ever considered becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? It's a great way to honor your loved one's birthday, confirmation, wedding anniversary, or any special event while supporting the worldwide gospel outreach of KFUO. A day sponsorship can be paid in monthly, quarterly payments, or all at one time. Would you please prayerfully consider becoming a KFUO Day sponsor? Just call me or Mary Schmidt at 1-800-844-0524. We can help you select that special day.
We are where you are. KFUO Radio, Clayton, St. Louis. KFUO HD, streaming live at KFUO.org.
AP Radio News. I'm Sandy Kozel. More shaking in Southern California. The U.S. Geological Survey says a quake about an hour and a half ago had a preliminary magnitude of 4.5. It was centered near the Orange County city of Yorba Linda. Magnitude 4.4 quake centered in the same area struck last night. Then no damage was reported. The FBI now says it wasn't a police bullet that killed the Sikh temple shooter in Wisconsin. AP correspondent John Belmont reports.
The special agent in charge of the Milwaukee office says the second police officer on the scene neutralized the gunman by shooting him in the stomach, but the attacker actually killed himself.
Subsequent to that wound, it appears that Page died from a self-inflicted gunshot wound to the head.
The FBI's Teresa Carlson also says after conducting more than 100 interviews, investigators continue to believe the shooter acted alone.
We have not identified anyone else other than Wade Michael Page as being responsible for these shootings.
And police still don't know the exact motive for the attack. I'm John Belmont.
Republican candidate Mitt Romney and President Obama are making hard sells to working class and female voters, while raising the volume on criticism to fire up the party base and cast the other as an extremist. In Des Moines, Romney says the president's first term makes clear what awaits the country if he's elected.
It will be chronic high levels of unemployment, as far as the eye can see, stagnant wage growth, and the potential for economic calamity given the massive debt and unfunded liabilities that this country has.
President Obama appears today with a Georgetown University student who became a flashpoint for women's health and, by proxy, abortion rights. Since parking on Mars Sunday night, the Curiosity rover has delighted scientists with views of its surroundings.
Curiosity is still healthy, still what we call surface nominal mode, and still in great shape.
That's mission manager Michael Watkins. On Wall Street, the Dow is up 6 points. This is AP Radio News.